Welcome to the 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano, I'm doing good. You are looking good today with that shirt.
Always making it happen, big man. Today's guest is Teresa Kuhn, a respected wealth and retirement income strategist, financial educator, best-selling author, and business owner. She is a specialist in working with the 100-year real estate investor and has helped clients with this strategy for over 20 years. So without further ado, Teresa, welcome to the show.
Hi, so happy to be here. And yes, great colors, guys. I'm wearing black because I'm in Colorado and I'm freezing, even though it's June and it's the morning. So it was my sweater that I had.
So, Teresa, Nelson Nash was your mentor. Tell us how you evolved the 100-year mindset as part of that mentorship.
So, Nelson and I met over 20 years ago. I, very young, somehow I lived my life and made choices in my life thinking long term. I didn't understand that's what I was doing, but that came very natural to me. And I'd been in financial services and have a legal background for some time and was looking for a strategy that I felt was congruent with my values and how I perceived the world of financial services to be. I thought there was a lot of really bad products, bad information, bad strategies for clients, but didn't have a good strategy to offer my clients. And when I met Nelson, he was a forester by training. He went to college to study forestry. And what is forestry? It's about planting trees and not seeing a profit for decades many times, right? So you had to have a long-term perspective to be in forestry. And his message resonated with me completely. Like the man and his ideas just completely resonated with me. And he had been introduced to life insurance, whole life insurance, and took his training and his worldview and applied it with these whole life policies that had been really underutilized and marketed, I think, in a very wrong way in the life insurance industry for decades. Mm-hmm. Whole life insurance has been around for a very long time, and people really didn't know how to use it. And here comes Nelson with his worldview, with his ideas, and really developed, I think, he was the pioneer in using these policies and teaching people to use these policies in a way that could free them from the financial system. Allow them to become their own source of financing, do all sorts of things with them.
So why is IBC, the infinite banking concept, why is that so powerful?
Oh, Gino, it's so powerful in so many ways. You know, everybody needs a place to park money. Everybody mm-hmm. needs a saving strategy. You know, you've got, when you have little kids, right? You know, the first thing you want to do for them is teach them how to have a little savings account, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what if you taught them to have a savings account, but in a vehicle that did so much for you, so much more than putting your money in a savings account, and something that could benefit you and not a bank or a financial institution? That's what the whole life insurance policy, the specially designed, because it's not just whole life, it's our specially designed whole life policy, right? Mm-hmm. That's what can do for you. And the infinite banking concept, which was the term that Nelson used to describe what you could do, you know, look at the terms, right? Let's break it down. Infinite, the possibilities and the ways of using the strategy truly are infinite. I've been working with it, specializing in it for over 20 years, and I have seen so much, and every day I learn something new of a different way that somebody, a client might be using it, right? Mm-hmm. Banking, it does allow you to become your own source of financing. Banks, they own the most expensive real estate in every community in the country, even the smallest little towns to the huge, you know, metropolitan, you know, cities, right? Probably in the world, they own the most expensive real estate. Why is that? Well, banking is a really lucrative mm-hmm. business. Mm-hmm. So the infinite banking concept or infinite banking strategy, the possibilities are infinite for you to become a finance company, a bank. And to be clear, for the regulators, we're not saying you own a bank, right? It's the banking function. It's becoming your own source of financing that becomes so powerful. And who would you want to profit from your money, right? From your banking? We all need the bank, right? We all need finance. Profit yourself. Don't give that profit to third party. And that's what we're all about. That's what we teach.
It's really interesting because Nelson was definitely way ahead of his time. And we see year over year the popularity of whole life insurance growing. And I'm going to tell you right now, wait until this tax reform comes down. People are going to need these products basically to preserve their wealth for their family to ensure their family's generational wealth is protected. So, you know, the dual asset strategy, more and more people are becoming aware of this and how they can use these policies, especially within real estate, to create an asset over here that protects your family and then grow their long-term wealth. Specifically, Nelson was ahead of his time, but what did you learn from him about long-term investing? I mean, how many policies did he have? Teresa, you were mentioning this to me the other day.
He had over 60 policies. Wow. And he saw the world again. Every child, he owned a policy on himself and his wife. He owned policies on his children. Every grandchild, great-grandchild that was born, he would buy a policy on. Any business partner, any transaction, any real estate, he would open up a policy. Any opportunity to open up a policy, he would take advantage of, and he had over 60. And he saw each policy as its own little business.
Just like our apartments, right? Gino. Every apartment has its own separate LLC. Each one of these policies, there's so many synergies. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. And you say that he was ahead of his time. Imagine thinking about a policy as a business. Who thinks that way, right? But it's exactly what it is. And like any business, are you profitable day one? Of course not. Each policy does take a little bit of time before you see the cash value exceed the money that you put in or for it to be profitable. But the earlier you start, the more time, because everything with money and business is time, right? The more time that it has to grow and reach a point of momentum where no matter what you do, that policy rocks. So, you know, he died a couple years ago in his late 80s, and he had over 60 plus policies. When he died, he also had a strategy for dying. He had a strategy for everything, right?
Well planned.
He had a mindset for everything. And his mindset was, and I believe in my heart, and him and I were very close, and just an incredible influence in my life. And I remember the couple years before he was dying. I get it now. I didn't see it then. He was preparing for his death. And he had been preparing for his death financially for the 20 years that I knew him. Because he would talk about, you know, when I die, I'm not going to own any of these policies. All these policies will be transferred to, you know, my children, my grandchildren, my wife, a business partner, someone, right? They will have been transferred. He didn't want to die owning anything, but those policies would have been transferred. And a couple of years before he died, you know, his language, the way he was speaking, he was planning his death. He lived intentionally. And, you know, Gino, I think you said something that was, I think, super important. You know, he was way ahead of his time. Imagine 40, 50 years ago, talking about these policies, he had an audience of zero. He had an audience of one. And he had a vision that this would free people. And, you know, he lived with purpose. This was going to free people because this was a strategy that was going to enable people to become their own source of financing and not become a slave. How many of your real estate investors in your community are slaves to financing for deals? How stressed do they get when they're trying
interest
to
rate risk is one of our biggest risks, right? We're in a great spot right now, but if rates ever jump, you know, people are going to be freaking out. It's 100% right.
Teresa, I think the important thing also is the opportunity cost. We want to have cash management tool. There are over $17 trillion in savings accounts earning nothing, and the banks are making tons of money on this. For us, the way we're utilizing it is we're putting it in these policies, like Jake said, to create that one asset, but we're repurposing it. and borrowing it from the policy and putting it into the real estate deals. And then over time, we're paying the policy loans back. So we're left with two assets, which is important. And everybody on here, that word opportunity cost, it's really, really important because you want to be able to have a deal. When you have an opportunity come, that's what the entrepreneur needs. They need the ability to access that cash, access that capital, whatever it is, to close the deal. And if you don't have that, you're in trouble. And the other thing that I love about these policies, Teresa, it forces me to save. Savings to me is painful. I'm making these premium payments every year. They're going in there. I had my first policy back in 2001. 20 years later, I look back at it and I go, wow, I am so thankful that I started it so long ago because now I have a nice death benefit. My cash value is really starting to crank now and I've got it. It is painful. It feels like an expense, but I will tell everybody it's a great way to force yourself to save and have access to that cash.
And we took the infinite banking concept, right, inside of the real estate community, named the dual asset strategy, because we're taking the dollars that a real estate investor would typically invest directly into the one asset. And just by putting it into the policy first and then putting it into the real estate, you have created the two assets, right? Yes. And that, by having two, who doesn't want two assets for the price of one? And it's not exactly for the price of one because you are, you know, paying back those dollars. But day one, you're creating the two assets, and those two assets will give you more options than if you only had the one asset.
It's
right?
Leverage. It's leverage. It's leverage. Real estate is built on leverage, and this is no different. Yes.
Leverage, scale, it increases the probability of your success. Gino, you talk about how you're here today. Your balance sheet is the way it is today because you had the opportunity to invest in a property. You took cash out of your policy when you didn't know where you were going to get the cash from. And you were like, oh, I've got a policy. And you're here today with the balance sheet looking like it does because of that.
100%. I agree. Last question before we sign off. You know, you talk so glowingly about Nelson. I've read his books. I think he's been an amazing person. How else did he use that policy or a strategy to create long-term wealth?
How else did he use it? Oh my goodness. It's not just financing real estate. In his book, he talks about just an example, a couple examples. One is a business that capitalizes a policy for, let's say, 4 years and then starts financing equipment with that policy and becoming the only source of financing for that policy. College, an alternative to college, starting these policies on children and instead of them going to college, taking that money, right, and maybe starting a business or providing a retirement solution for your children, whether they go to college or not, when they're little. So when they're in their 60s and 70s, they've got a pool of money that they can tap into tax favored, meaning not paying taxes. And we know what's going to happen to taxes. I mean, we see the writing on the wall today, right? Taxes are...
They're coming after everything. And you're creating an asset for college to pay for college, not putting a forced savings thing into place. This is creating another asset. I hate the, what is it, the 529, Gino? That thing just drives me nuts.
Yeah, and Jake,
so this is a way to do it.
Let me mention this really quick. This is really a paradigm shift for me for a few years ago. The middle class saves for an event. I was taught to save for college. What wealthy people do and what everyone on the show who's listening to the show is we save to buy assets. And that's what the whole life policy allowed me to
that
do.
Pay for our events.
Exactly. You're saving that money, putting that money in the policy, being able to access that money and putting it into an asset. And that first deal that Jake and I did, that little first 25 unit deal, I've told people it's paying for all six of my kids to go to college. And it's given me the ability to save enough money and to earn enough that I'm put policies on each one of my children because I want to leave a legacy for them. I'm able to save that money there. And when they are actually, I can actually say, hey, you know what? It's about time. You are responsible. You've earned my respect. I can hand over the policy to them. Right. Until now, I am the owner and I'm the beneficiary of that policy. I'm holding that policy, but it's all about the long-term mindset. I want, and Jake is smiling over there, right? I want my kids.
The general's in control, man. You're calling the shots.
Well, you want to be intentional. And, you know, yep. After reading Nelson and after listening to Teresa and you know, being involved with Teresa the last few months of her having a mentor and talking about these things, it's so crystal clear to me. We don't want to just leave our kids. And I'd mentioned this with Teresa a little while ago with just generational wealth. We want to leave them with generational skills and with the mindset of how, when they come into a sum of money, what do they do with it? To be responsible. So it's not only about that. And I think these whole life policies will make you adopt that type of mindset. You're not getting rich today. You're putting money in there so you can fund other things and you can control the flow of money. That's what investors want to do. We want to be able to control the flow of those funds. And if we can do that and we can repurpose that to a higher and better use from the whole life to the real estate, it's a home run. Any final words, Teresa, before we sign off?
You know, I believe it all starts with mindset. I know the community loves details, loves, you know, the technical stuff, but if you don't chunk it up and look at the mindset, you miss the big picture as to why you're doing what you're doing. And I believe the 100-year, you know, mindset, looking out, what do I want my life to look like in 100 years? And maybe you're not alive. What do I want my legacy to look like in 100 years? That's where it starts. And once you start there, then everything else can inform your decisions in terms of investing, your family, the generational skills. Do you want your children to learn something for today or learn a financial strategy that will serve them for 100 years? Mm-hmm. I mean, once you think in those terms, oh my gosh, I think it can improve people's lives in every area.
I want to thank you for being on, for sharing your wealth of knowledge, for just talking about Nelson Nash. And for all the listeners out there, just go to 100yearrei.com, schedule a call with one of our real estate, 100-year real estate advisors, and just start getting that first step between it, because this is something that's going to be so powerful to be able to unlock. It's a long-term strategy. Everybody out there who's been successful, take a look at Jake, take a look at myself, take a look at Teresa. We are all long-term. Things don't happen in the short term. You're not an overnight success. So to tap into that, go to 100yearrei.com, schedule a call with one of our advisors. And Jake, as we like to say, we will see you on the other side, my friend. Thanks, bro.
Thanks
Teresa.
Thank you.